Osama bin Laden sparked America's war on terror, and since then, the government has spent more than $1 trillion on military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, one might be able to argue that agencies are dealing with tight budget restraints in part because of that conflict, and the Defense Department continues its operations as the U.S. continues to face record deficits. Joining us now with more on how bin Laden affected our national debt and how his death is being received by government defense contractors, defense contracting expert Jim McAleese. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Let's get some background and some history here about the impact. It had never dawned on me before that there was a cause and effect here with the war on terror and the budget constraints that we're seeing happen now.
Absolutely. I guess I would characterize it, you've already captured the emotional and morale victory for the United States. So from my perspective, I would look at it, the operational perspective impact, the congressional perspective impact, and the budget perspective impact, because I think those are going to be really three different animals. From an operational perspective, the critical role of the CIA brings back the president's announcement last week of Leon Panetta as the new Secretary of Defense. I think that last night's operations in Pakistan really reinforces the selection of the new secretary nominee.
He's got chops now.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two, it provides perspective into the integration of the intelligence with military ops that General Petraeus should be able to now bring from CENTCOM and Afghanistan in particular to the CIA itself. Number three, I would hope operationally, even though there's a loose affiliation between the Taliban versus Al-Qaeda, that it has a tremendous weakening of morale on the Taliban, while at the same time strengthening the morale and resolve of the Karzai government to win the current fight that we're in. And lastly, I mean, undoubtedly it undercuts the credibility of our critical Pakistani ally that they were not able to find a compound that was 12 times the size of the average city in one of their most expensive and wealthiest suburbs next to the capital.
It's almost like missing the White House.
That would be, Tom, that
in
would
be real estate equivalency.
In retrospect, that would be an understatement. What I found to be of value last night from the president's announcement, I think it also reinforces the deliberate nature, providing some insights into his National Security Council, of how from August to now, they really focused on tracking down the courier, making sure they had actionable intelligence, and then directing the strike with success. So it certainly reinforces the White House as well. How will Congress react? We already have two hearings scheduled this week by Senator John Kerry, who's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. One is tomorrow on Afghanistan, and one is Thursday on Pakistan. Those are largely kind of think tank hearings, but I think they're going to take on a whole new perspective.
Those were scheduled already, those hearings.
Yes, sir.
I see.
Now, I would expect that in addition to Senate Foreign Relations, we will likely, and I'm not the chairman, so I can't make the final decision, but I would expect that we will see sister hearings now by the House Foreign Affairs Committee and almost undoubtedly by the House Armed Services Committee, Chairman Buck McKeon, and the Senate Armed Services Committee, obviously Chairman Levin.
And what will they ask of the federal agencies involved?
It'll be very, I would imagine it'll probably take a couple weeks to schedule those hearings, because it's really going to be at the discretion of the White House as to what information is going to be discussed when, but certainly I would anticipate classified hearings at the very least. Okay, so we may not see all of it, but I think it's going to bring this issue to the forefront from a congressional perspective. Transitioning us from congressional to budget, I think there's probably three or four things we need to keep in mind. The very first thing is that this is going to absolutely provide credibility to the intelligence agency requested funding. Now, we have two buckets of money. This is the American taxpayers' money, not mine. Mm-hmm. But there are generally two buckets of money. One is the National Intelligence Program money, which is about, it's under the DNI control, Director of National Intelligence, General Clapper. And obviously the CIA, NRO, and a number of other entities feed into that. That's about $55 billion per year. And in retrospect of yesterday's decision, every penny of that money is obviously well spent. There is a second component that is within the DoD budget. We refer to it as Military Intelligence Program, or MIP money, M-I-P, and it's about $30 billion per year. So when you put those two together, you get about $80 to about $85 billion is what we, the American people, ought to be thinking that we're spending on intelligence, which really paid off yesterday. Moving to DoD, from the 2011 perspective, as you both know, the President signed the 2011 Defense Appropriations Act about 2 weeks ago, so that's already taken care of. That provides $532 billion of base funding for DoD and a full and fair measure of about $157 billion of overseas contingency operation, or OCO, funding to support the drawdown in Iraq and the continuing surge in Afghanistan. The current 2012, to answer your, Tom, what's the impact going to be on 2012? DoD currently has a request on the Hill for $553 billion in the base and an additional $117 billion of OCO funding. So collectively, DoD and the President is asking the American people for about $670 billion for DoD base operations, and also to continue to close out Iraq and to continue to successfully close out Afghanistan. Final thought. Amy, you had mentioned the money that we're spending.
Yes.
I generally tend to think of the what we started off with was GWAT, the Global War on Terror money.
Mm-hmm.
It then became supplemental money, and we now affectionately refer to it as OCO money. So the GWAT, supplemental OCO, from the beginning of the war in late 2001 through the 2011 Defense Appropriations Act that the President signed about 2 weeks ago, there is a total of about $1.3 trillion. That's about the size of the federal deficit that we will run in our federal budget here in 2011. So that's what we spent on the two wars, and it's important to look into those two budgets. Not all of the money has been spent in Afghanistan. In fact, quite to the contrary. Generally, of the $1.3 trillion that we will spend through the end of 2011, which will be this September 30th coming up, your listeners ought to be thinking about $800 billion, or about 60%, has gone to Iraq, and about $450 billion, or about 30 to 34%, actually goes to Afghanistan. And when you look into the 2012 request that Congress is considering now, what you're seeing is, and this is a appropriate and I think prudent action, particularly in light of yesterday's outcome, there's going to be a total request for everybody, DOD, state, so on, VA, so on and so forth, of about $131 billion additional funding that we will be asking for the American taxpayer and up in 2012. And of that $131 billion, only about $18 billion, very small amount, will go to closing out Iraq, and about $114 billion of that, the lion's share, will actually go to Afghanistan.
Let me get a little granular with you, if
sure.
I could. We are speaking with Jim McAleese, the defense contracting expert and founder of McAleese & Associates. And let me ask you about some of this money. Now, we've heard all morning long that bin Laden may be dead, Al-Qaeda lives on, and in fact, they've already vowed revenge this morning. So how will this impact the mission or the purpose for defense contractors? What is it they need to be looking for in the days and weeks to come? Or is it pretty much status quo for them?
Well, it is certainly going to reinforce the need and the continued resourcing of the intelligence contractors. One of the things that Secretary Gates was focused on was in his $78 billion of efficiencies that came out of the 2012 to 2016 plan, was really being able to reduce the duplication, the redundancies, and any excess as we found it within the intelligence activities. The immediate decision is if you are in the National Intelligence Program, which is basically CIA, NRO, a number of other entities, as a contractor going forward, it is highly unlikely that we will be seeing any funding reductions, and those contractors are probably riding very high.
So, Jim, the bottom line here is that this shooting of bin Laden really changes the budgetary and operational calculus for federal agencies and the appropriators.
That is correct. Most importantly, what it does is it gives the American people confidence that that not all of the money will be always spent perfectly during a time of war. It does give them confidence that there is an end game in sight. It does put points up on the board, and it does give credibility to the CIA and to DOD, particularly Special Ops.
Jim McAleese is a defense contracting expert and founder of McAleese & Associates. We thank you, as always, for your insight.
Amy and Tom, happy to be on board.
And you can hear this interview again and find links to more from Jim McAleese at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
It is 8:18. Just ahead on Federal News Radio, we have your cybersecurity update at 8:30 as agency IT security pros seem to be grappling not with whether you should have access to your government networks from your personal device, but how you should have that access. And then at 8:40, we have your DOD report. National security correspondent J.J. Green will be joining us live once again to talk about how the U.S. and federal agencies worked together to take down Osama bin Laden. But first, the Office of Management and Budget giving agencies 3 months to come up with a new telework plan. Good luck. We have details next on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Nurse means noble.